There's certain things you can't show on MTV, such as the letter F. That's fine, you can't show on MTV. For some reason, you cannot show the letter F and U together.
Together.
When the implication is that it's going to be leading towards...
But what he has always been leading towards was comedy, DIY style.
There wasn't really any pathway to getting a TV show or a comedy TV show where I lived, so I just decided to make my own show.
We talked about his independent thinking and his journey with cancer, but if I'm honest, things did get a little bit weird.
It's not weird. I'm not weird, you know. I'm not weird for riding a mule. That's not a weird thing, Bill. I'm not weird. Maybe you should get a horse. Why don't you get a nice horse? Ride into work every day, come into Fox on a horse.
Listen, maybe we just better let this unique trailblazer finish this Pulse Open by himself.
It's me. I'm Tom Green.
Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. You know what we do. We're talking to people who are doing cool things, making a difference, doing comedy, touring. Tom Green is here. He's doing all of those things. It's the strangest thing. Like, because of your shows and your background, I'm talking about you, and I kind of felt like, I mean, look over, because anything could happen.
No. I'm just having my morning coffee here, and happy to be here. Nothing crazy is going to happen. Nothing crazy. No, it's good to see you, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I appreciate you coming in.
Yeah.
Is that an odd response? Like, something crazy is going to happen.
Well, you know, people that watched my show on MTV growing up probably, you know, were used to seeing me doing a lot of crazy stuff. And I still do. But, you know, it's more as a stand-up comedian, I'm more kind of, you know, being a little more wacky and crazy on stage and not necessarily showing up and painting the studio plaid or anything like that. So
none of that yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm waiting to see if somebody comes in.
It could happen, yeah.
Tell us how. I look at a lot of the stuff that goes on now, some of the podcasts, like some of the other shows, and I feel like you were all of those things before a lot of people started doing all of those things. So tell us about your background. How'd you get into doing all this?
Yeah, well, I started doing stand-up comedy when I was a teenager and in Canada, and I really loved performing, and I ended up going to broadcasting school and learned how to operate cameras and edit video back in the 90s, and that was before we all had cell phones and before podcasting, and I really got into sort of making independent media. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's what led to the Tom Green Show. Got picked up by MTV in 1999 after I'd been doing it on a public access station for years up in Canada, and just kind of changed my life, you know. The show was seen all around the world, and got to make some movies. I lived in Los Angeles for 20 years. I just moved back to Canada, and I got a farm, and I'm a farmer now. But that's how it all started. It's gone full circle.
You're a real farmer, or you're a farmer for a TV show that you're doing?
Well, no, I'm a real farmer. I'm farming radishes, so that's pretty good. I've got a mule. I've got chickens. I've got eggs.
That makes you a real farmer.
Yeah, I'm a real farmer. Yeah, I'm a real farmer. No, I'm kind of getting into it. It's a fun new chapter in my life, and I am doing a TV show about moving out to the country and living out in the wilderness, and it's a good time. A lot different than Los Angeles.
I'd imagine. I was just in Los Angeles, by the way.
Yeah.
And I am not a big Los Angeles person. Mm-hmm. Don't spend a lot of time out there. Mm-hmm. It's different out there. I'd imagine from living there for 20-some-odd years to going to the farm is a huge leap.
Yeah, you know, well, I always felt a little out of place in Los Angeles, even though I lived there for 20 years. I grew up in Canada in the city of Ottawa, and you know, you're a lot closer to nature out there. I always liked going fishing and being out in the wilderness and things like that. So moving home, it feels a lot more normal to me. But I had a good time in Los Angeles too. I was doing stand-up comedy the last 20 years. It's the perfect place to be if you're doing stand-up. I could go down to the different comedy clubs in town, and it was a good time.
I feel like nowadays anybody can start a podcast. Anybody can kind of start a show and roll with it.
Yeah.
When you first did it, it was innovative. Like, people were not doing that. It was a public TV show that then expanded and grew to MTV. Now, what inspired all of that? Like, you had to be truly innovative at that point to do it.
Well, I wanted to do a television show. I was a huge fan of David Letterman, and I grew up, you know, really loving comedy. And like I said, I was doing stand-up, and there wasn't really any pathway to getting a TV show or a comedy TV show you know, where I lived. So I just decided to make my own show. Now anybody can do that, and you can go get the technology and the cameras and everything in a box and set it up in your house. But you still have to do something that people want to watch or want to listen to. So that's I guess, the big challenge today. It's not necessarily getting the microphones and stuff like that, but it's more about figuring out how to make an interesting show that you're going to get people tuning into. So
was that just you? Like, your interesting show, you did a lot initially, and then it continued to expand, and then it got kind of MTV crazy. Was MTV crazy, or is that's you? That's what you wanted to do, like Jackass before Jackass?
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of, I was a skateboarder. I loved David Letterman. I loved outrageous comedy, like, you know, SCTV and Saturday Night Live and Monty Python and all sorts of things that were out of the box. I wanted to make a really wild and crazy show, and we did, and that was part of it. You know, it was unlike anything people had really seen at the time, because it was before reality TV and a lot of these kind of crazy shows that you see now on TikTok, and people doing pranks on their parents on TikTok now. We were doing pranks on my parents back in the 90s. So
yes, you were.
My parents are happy that I'm back home, though. They still talk to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's positive.
Yeah.
These are good steps.
Yeah, they still talk to me.
Do you allow yourself to recognize that you were kind of a trailblazer in all of this? Like, that's pretty significant.
Yeah, I mean, I've been given lots of people have given me lots of credit for doing this stuff before. I know when I just did the Joe Rogan podcast, Joe's a friend of mine, and he used to come up to my web television show after MTV. I built a small studio kind of like this in my living room, and I would interview people, and he's always kind of, you know, given me sort of a shout out and said I was doing podcasting before other people. So it's cool, you know. I've always looked to technology as a way of kind of finding a way to be creative and do things that aren't being done. If you sort of find what the latest technology is, you can go in and shoot video differently or make radio differently, and that's what I'm doing now. I've moved out to the middle of the wilderness, and I'm doing a TV show with, you know, the cutting edge, you know, cameras and using really great, technology that's allowing us to make a really beautiful show out in the middle of nowhere.
So are you doing this? Is still the cutting edge stuff, or do you have now you've gone Hollywood? So now you have the whole team and everything.
No, I have a small production company, and I'm directing the show, and it's not by any means a big budget show. We got a nice little budget, and it's going to be on Amazon Prime, and it's coming out this year. I like trying to make things happen with new technology, new cameras, new audio equipment, new gear that's going to allow us to do some stuff that looks really nice for, not necessarily having to have that big crew like you mentioned, you know.
So you're farming.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a farm.
Mule.
I have a farm, and I have some animals. I have
mule.
A mule. Really, I'm more learning to ride this mule. You know, that's the thing. Mules are really interesting animals. You know, people say stubborn as a mule. This sounds really crazy to you, right? Because we're in Philadelphia, though, right? There's not a lot of people riding around on mules down here. But
no.
But it's actually probably one of the most normal things that I've ever done, to be honest with you, getting a mule.
I believe that.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily. That's because you've done some crazy stuff.
It might even be one of the most normal things that you would have ever done.
To ride a mule?
Well, farming, living out in the country. It's not a weird thing, you know.
Okay.
I see you kind of acting like it's really weird to live on a farm.
No.
It's not that weird. I mean, maybe it's weird that I'm farming and riding a mule,
right,
but lots
part.
Of people ride mules and horses, and it's kind of a very traditional thing. I guess that's what's funny about it, because that's me doing it. But it's not weird. I'm not weird, you know. I'm not weird for riding a mule. That's not a weird thing, Bill. I'm not weird.
It's different.
I'm not weird.
It's different.
Different, maybe different for me and you, but I mean, lots of people ride horses.
They
and
do.
Stuff. It's a normal thing to do.
They do.
It's the most normal thing
and
I've ever done.
Farm radishes.
It's the most normal thing I've ever done.
Yeah. So what are we going to see on this shockingly normal show?
A lot of it's about me kind of adjusting to this new lifestyle.
Well, how do you have to adjust? It's normal.
Because I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
So,
so abnormal for you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to get to follow this journey.
Yeah, no, it's fun. And my parents are in the show, and they're excited to have me back. But, no, it's kind of a neat docu-series, I guess, about me adjusting to this new life on the farm and getting to know this incredible animal, Fanny, who's this huge mule who I'm riding. She won't turn left, so I just have to go spin around in circles. I basically spin around in circles till I get dizzy, and then we stop. But and then I have my dog, Charlie, on the show, who's always with me. Charlie, come here.
The
Charlie
smooth segue. Hey, Charlie. So Charlie walked in with
Tom. I love
Tom.
Animals. Charlie is a rescue from the Bahamas.
Charlie was just sitting here chilling.
Yeah, and she's from the Bahamas, and she's traveled all around with me. We're on tour right now. I'm performing this week at Helium Comedy Club, and I've just been on a month-long tour.
You and Charlie just travel?
Driving around the country, going show to show. Driving around my Ford F-150 pickup truck there, eh? We're getting her done, Bill. And just jumped out in the truck at the farm and just drove down, crossed the border at Detroit.
Left the mule, but grabbed Charlie.
Flint, Michigan, Hobart, Indiana, hitting all the hot spots. Yeah.
So, again, some of this behind the scenes, Charlie was just chilling under the table. Nobody would have ever known.
No.
But you really do just kind of hit the road and go.
Yeah. I mean, it's a booked comedy tour, and it's I'm just driving.
Sold out in a lot of places.
Yeah, everything's been sold out. The whole tour is sold out, and it's been great. I mean, I like driving. You know, we just drive a couple hours. I don't have to go to the airport every weekend, and it's kind of nice living out in the Northeast too. There's a lot more cities up here. When you're in LA, I'd have to fly out every weekend to a different city. So, this is.
It's a journey.
Yeah. I like that fun. you keep laughing like you think I'm going to like pull a rabbit out of my something.
It's not.
I'm a normal guy, Bill.
Very casually
funny. I'm a normal guy.
You're sitting
I'm a
here
normal
having
guy,
conversation.
Yeah. I have conversations.
And it's funny.
Yeah.
Just because I made laughing at me?
Just because
I joke to you?
Just because I put a mouse in my mouth and road trip doesn't mean I can't be a normal person.
You
once
did,
in a
while. But those things were unusual. The things that you were doing.
Yeah.
So on this tour, the show, the mule. Is one thing.
Yeah, the mule is not on tour with me. She's
no,
a little.
Charlie's
I bring,
on
I bring
tour.
Charlie, but the mule is 1,400-pound animal. But,
you'd have to ride her.
Someday, I might like to bring
you'd
her
take
on
her
stage
on tour?
With me. Yeah, maybe go play a county fair or something like that.
So.
But no, I've been doing stand-up, like I said, since I was 16 years old. But I really been touring, almost full time for the last 15 years or so, and performed. All over the world, really. I've performed all over probably every English-speaking city in the world and also other places as well. I've been done shows in all throughout Europe and Asia, and I've got – it's a kind of fun thing about the show on MTV. It's given me this worldwide audience, and I get to see the world and tell jokes and do what I love, so it's a lot of fun.
So is that – and what's the show? When we come see your show, so in Philly, Helium, 23rd through 25th, and then you're moving around to a bunch of places here.
Yeah, I'm going to be in Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, Newtown, Pennsylvania, and Saratoga Springs, New York. That's the end of this tour. Then I'll be up in Canada. I'm doing shows in Ottawa. I'm doing filming a stand-up special at the National Arts Centre there on May 18th. And then Toronto, all over the place. East Coast Canada. I'll be back down in the New York area. In Connecticut in September, and
do you still love touring?
I love it. Yeah, I love doing stand-up. I love the art of doing comedy and getting up on stage and being in front of an audience and making people laugh. It's why every comedian got into this business. Probably we were all struggling class clowns at one point who were desperate for attention, and then we found a way to get it by
and get paid for it.
And get paid for it by becoming a comedian. Yeah. Yeah.
So what do we see? What's a Tom Green comedy show look like?
Well, it's pretty high energy show, but I talk about all sorts of different subjects, from social commentary to just talking about my life. And I'm inspired by so many of the great comedians that we all grow up with, like George Carlin and Richard Pryor. And I love a lot of the current comedians too, Louis C.K. and Bill Burr and Theo Vaughn and all these guys, are Shane Gillis, Joe Rogan. These are all people that are touring around doing amazing stuff today. And I'm just kind of doing my version of stand-up comedy, talking about what I find funny and having a good time with the folks.
I'm curious because some of the things you put a mouse in your mouth. And all of the different things that you have done, you were dealing with that type of risky, in your own words, type of comedy before the whole cancel culture thing became so prominent. What do you think about that, that comedians now have seemingly a kind of tighter constraints on the things that they can do, or do they?
I don't really think they do. I think, you know, comedy's always been about pushing the boundaries. I mean, I haven't heard of any stand-up comedians getting arrested for a comedy routine, like
right.
like Lenny Bruce was arrested and famously, for something that he said on stage, or, you know, the Doors were arrested at a concert for something they did on stage. I haven't seen that happen. So I don't really know that there is cancel culture as far as content of stand-up right now. You can't really get canceled anymore for saying something on stage because there's just so many outlets. I mean, you don't have to necessarily, mm-hmm. might not necessarily work within mainstream media if you're saying completely unhinged or things, but you can still always go find your own audience. And people want to see somebody get up on stage and, you know.
So it's not something that you have had to, seemingly in your career, but even now, it's not something that you've had to consider. You just keep doing it.
First of all, I don't think that, I mean, that doesn't really have to be, I think, the motivation to get up and say something that you're not allowed
Charlie,
to say, right?
Yeah. I feel like we need a...
Oh, yeah.
Charlie now is She's just a good chilling girl. Over. It's Charlie's a service dog. Yeah. Are we allowed to pet Charlie?
Yeah, you can pet Charlie. Yeah, mm-hmm. sure, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't think just because people can be sensitive today on the internet and have issues with what this person or that person might say, I don't think that really necessarily has to be the motivation of a stand-up comedian to get up and try to say something that is going to offend people. I think really the goal of stand-up is to get up and make everybody laugh, right? Mm-hmm. So that's my you know, desire when I do stand-up. I'm not trying to go up and make people upset or anything with what I'm saying.
Right.
I'm trying to go up and have a good time, and we're going to have a fun show, and everyone's going to laugh
and be normal.
And have some fun. So now some people do want to get up and just shock and try to push the boundaries politically or socially. And, you know, I'm kind of more doing something that is just fun and outrageous, but I don't think anybody's going to be hurt. I don't think any feelings are going to get hurt.
It.
No, no.
Okay. At some point through your career, you wrote a book. You wrote books.
Yeah,
all right.
Book, yeah, yeah.
You were very public with health issues that you had at one point, talking about all of those things. Why? Like, when you're out there having kind of fun with it and talking about these things, but you also shared really personal stuff about yourself.
Yeah, well, I had testicular cancer when my show was on MTV, and it was the reason why the show stopped, actually. The Tom Green Show was, you know, a hit show on MTV, and then I got cancer and had to go deal with that for about a year, and that was when we stopped the show. We made a television special about it, and young men who were watching my show are the people that are most susceptible to that. So the highest curable, most curable form of cancer, so I thought it was a good thing to do. And I have actually probably, I've had hundreds, I wouldn't say thousands, but hundreds and hundreds of people have contacted me online or come to my shows. And, you know, young guys who saw that special and went to the doctor, got checked out and diagnosed their cancer because of it. And I've had lots of, teary, meet and greets with people, with men and their wives who say, you know, they're alive today because of that special that we did on MTV. So it's been very, fulfilling kind of thing to have done that. It wasn't necessarily something that I, anticipated that would have that much of an impact. But we were on MTV at the time. We were doing documentary type comedy. Mm-hmm. I had the whole crew there. I was always sort of pointing the camera back on my own life anyway. So we just followed through and did that. Last show, that was the last episode of the Tom Green Show, was the cancer special.
And pushing those boundaries ended up helping a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. I shudder to ask this next question because the answer could be anywhere, because we know you got a mule in a show like that. We're traveling. You've done pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Continue to push the limits. Is there a what's next that we could talk about? I'm afraid of what the answer might be.
Well, I mean, I'm just really enjoying what I'm doing now. I mean, I'm settling into this amazing property that I found, and I'm touring doing stand-up, and I'm growing my production company in Canada. I'm producing 3 projects right now as a director and producer. So just probably watch for more television shows and more stand-up comedy from me. And I love what I do. I don't have any intention to slow down. Just keep an eye out and watch for me on Amazon Prime this year. There's a documentary as well coming out that I'm directing about the history of the Tom Green Show, kind of covering some of the stuff that we've talked about here today. And we're going back through all the archives of 30 years of video and making this feature-length film about the history of all these crazy videos that I've made over the years.
I feel like that's going to be a really good watch.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, yeah.
Maybe we could come out to the farm and interview you when that comes out.
Yeah, if you want to,
we can absolutely meet everybody out there.
Get you up on the mule there. Yeah.
Now I feel bad that I haven't ever been on a mule.
Yeah, or a horse. Have you ever rode a horse before?
I have been on a horse. I did not solo ride the horse. Right. I was kind of led around like a Philadelphia guy who has no idea what they're doing.
That's pretty much what it is.
Horse is in inner city Philly. It's like an urban cowboy story.
There you go. Maybe you should get a horse. Why don't you get a nice horse? Ride into work every day, come into Fox on a horse. That'd be cool.
That would be something.
That would stand out. People would talk about that. It'd probably be good for ratings.
That would be something.
Yeah. You could have a little logo horse here logo. On your horse, and then tell everybody you got the idea from me.
We could both just keep
growing. It'd be great, I like
Charlie
it.
Charlie is completely unfazed by everything that goes on.
She's chilling. She's
just sitting there chilling. We end every episode of The Pulse with the concept of use your voice for good.
Yeah.
That's the theme of the show.
Okay.
You've talked about some of the different things that you've already done, but when you hear that phrase, what does it mean to you?
I do think it's nice to try to create some sort of a positive impact with your comedy. I mean, I think most comedians, I would say if not all comedians, certainly most comedians are venting their frustrations with the world and how they see it. And I think probably a lot of us are motivated by the idea that, you might make people think differently about the world and make a positive impact of some sort. Mm-hmm. That's I think in some ways what comedy has always been about. It's about shining a light on something, maybe making people laugh at things that are sometimes uncomfortable subjects, and then maybe giving a new perspective. So, absolutely.
I like it. I appreciate you taking the time out.
Thanks, Bill. Awesome. Good to be here.
Tom Green on The Pulse.
Get on that horse.
Thank you so much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast. Today with comedian and actor and author Tom Green, spending some time with us. Talking to him is just funny. Interesting, the things that he's done, his experiences, really a trailblazer in so many things in media, TV, podcasts. Pretty fun to just get the opportunity to talk to him and pick his brain along with Charlie the dog and his mule. No idea what's going on with all that, but it was a fun experience. Guys, do me a favor, hit subscribe, like, follow, any of the things that you see on your screen that will let you know the next time there is a Pulse episode available so that you can follow. And you also can head on over to all streaming platforms. The Fox Local app has all of our shows right there at your fingertips. You can watch them, catch up, see some of the really cool guests that we've had. And as always, you can hit me up on social media. I love to hear from you at BillAFox29. Thanks again for listening. And I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.